Welcome to Bounce Back Like a Badass, your weekly dose of real and honest conversations about when life gets a little or a lot messy and how to find your way back more humbled, more empowered, more determined, and hopefully with some badass stories to share. Here's your host, Kat Coley. Hey guys, it's Kat. You are tuning in to episode number 8, and we are talking about homecoming without a home and relationships. And when I first started talking or thinking about doing this podcast, I, you know, wrote down the things I really wanted to talk about and wanted to share. And relationship was kind of all off to the side a little bit, only because at the time I was still dealing with all of that. And this is when I first thought about starting a podcast. And when I first started talking about my story and sharing it, the relationship portion of it was still being worked on. I was still dealing with that part. And so it was very difficult for me to, you know, want to share that portion of it. And ever since then, of course, all parties have moved on and life has gone on and you know, things have evolved. And so, you know, it's not so in your face anymore and, you know, far removed from all of the things that have happened. So I've always thought, okay, you know, is that then necessary and really important to share? And I think for the sake of my story and for the sake of understanding, you know, where I was at and where my mindset was at, not just from the ordeal of being away, but the coming home, because it really was quite a shock. And it was a time in my life where I really did think that I was, you know, out of this unbelievably painful time in my life and coming back into something that I, you know, had known and something that I, you know, was familiar with. And so in kind of continuing on with, I think we were left off in episode number 6 as my coming home, I was faced with the fact that my partner no longer wanted to be in the relationship. And I refused to give up. And not to say that my partner, my ex-partner was giving up at that time. I'm not saying that, you know, he was giving up. It's just that I was refusing to give up. Meaning, like, you know, if someone had said, okay, you've got to leave now, I was like, no, I'm just going to sit here in this, you know, and I'm going to throw a tantrum and I'm going to sit on the floor and you'd have to remove me to be able to get me out of here. And that was the kind of that's the visual of what I was doing. I think at the time it was just honestly trying to hold on to something that, again, was familiar and trying to hold on to something that, you know, seemed like a good foundation. And I really tried to find every which way possible to continue on with my relationship. And I'll go into a little bit more about this, you know, as, again, more episodes, as we talk about more episodes or we get into, you know, more about, you know, what to do in situations like this. But I will say, you know, while I was away, there was just so much time between us that it was difficult to not be able to have the kind of conversations that we needed to have. And we allowed, and not saying just him, we both did. We allowed just the separation, the time, the space between us to come in, you know, between us, because neither one of us wanted to face the reality of what we were dealing with. So it was, and again, keep in mind, we really didn't know when I was going to be coming home. You know, the best case scenario after finding out I was no longer getting house arrest was, you know, 19 months. So that was the best case scenario. Worst case scenario was 48, and or any time in between there. So, you know, when you already don't have a really solid foundation, and you already aren't talking about the things you should be talking about and dealing with and facing head on and all of those things that I'm sure every single one of us has heard of and maybe have dealt with in our lives, whether it's relationships, whether it's friendships, whether it's whatever it is, coworkers, bosses, you name it. If you don't face things head on, and you just keep, you know, pouring, you know, or, you know, keep hiding it or keep putting it in the corner or keep sweeping it under the rug, it becomes gigantic. And to the point where, you know, even if it's in the room present with you and you both choose to ignore it, it sometimes seems like it's gone. And, you know, because you've swept it under the rug for so much, for so long, or you've ignored it and, you know, sitting in the corner for so long that it just becomes part of the furniture, part of the decor, until something like this happens, until something like this where you're faced to confront it. And even when you're faced to confront it, you don't confront it. So anyway, there was just a pile upon pile upon pile of stuff. And I think, again, I've already mentioned that in these past episodes. So the time I was away, you know, to allow for us to have some sort of normalcy, we just never spoke about anything. I never talked about things that happened while I was there. And he barely talked about things that happened outside of me, our daughter, and things that she was doing, which then I think he felt terrible for then having to, you know, to tell me about them because I was missing them. So I'm sure maybe you can just imagine what it was like to be on either side of the phone. I don't want to talk about things of that's happening there. One, I didn't want to upset him. And two, there's nothing that he could do about it. And the more I talked about it, you know, the more evident and more real it became. And at the time I was, you know, just in this pretend world, like, okay, this is going to end tomorrow. It's going to, you know, it's not real per se. Obviously I was living it, but to speak it, like, you know, to speak about it and to tell somebody about it made it even more real. And so I wasn't willing to share that. He wasn't willing to share what was happening in his life. So we were just kind of living in this limbo. Both of us were. And by the time I really wanted to figure out what was happening and how we were moving forward, honestly, it was a little too late. And, you know, there are things that have happened, the things that, and decisions that were made, where both of us could get very upset about and very, blame each other and point fingers. And, you know, certainly they weren't the wisest of decisions. However, we were two people doing the best that we could in the situation that we were given. And that's all I will give that. Not saying that the things that happened weren't hurtful. Not saying that they drove me insane or drove him insane. It was just two people, honestly, just trying to figure it out day by day, how things were going to be, where we were going to find ourselves. And we didn't have a strong, I keep saying this because it was true for me, and I didn't realize this until much, much later. We never really had a very good foundation to begin with. And that's not to knock our relationship. We had a fantastic relationship. We had a great time together. We enjoyed each other's company, but we didn't have those core things. We just didn't have a good foundation. And you can't grow, and you can't expect to go through difficult things in your life with somebody who you weren't able to, you know, get in the trenches with. And that's how, in my opinion, again, this is based on my opinion only. That's how you get through things. That's, you know, when you, it's fantastic to have a relationship where you never have to go through anything difficult, where you never fight, you never argue, and things are all, you know, copacetic, and you're kind of in la la land. That's fantastic, and it's amazing for those who couples out there that have made it through that and still have years and years and years of life together. It's fantastic. I applaud that. For me, I'm not saying that we've got to go through some rough crap, you know, some rough shit to get through, but I think they are the building blocks of a really good relationship, in my opinion, because the easiest thing to do is to walk away. To stay and figure it out is hard. But then there's also this fine line of how long do you stay and how much do you endure and all of those things combined. So obviously each one is to his own, and each individual relationship and each individual situation is unique to their own. And I'm not saying that one is better than the other, by no means. I've had both. I have them all. And I'm saying is that for me and for that time in my life, we were very unstable, and it seemed from the outside world that we were quite solid, but we weren't. And that's the honest truth. And that's what you're going to get from this show, is the honest truth. So with that in mind, and now 19 months of uncertainty, a time, space, only seeing each other a handful of times, never talking about things, and just always thinking, okay, we'll work it out, we'll figure it out, we'll see where it goes. And those are the conversations that we had. I think whether or not he wanted to tell me that he had already decided that the relationship was ending or had already ended before I left, and he didn't want to, you know, tell me that while I was away, I don't know. I never asked that question. I don't believe that there was ever a conversation that we had that. Whether he knew it before I came home or not, I felt it in my gut. I just didn't want to believe it. And so I played the part of, once I was home, things were just going to get better. And that was my strategy. That was my goal. I just needed to be home. That was it, basically. And that once I was here, once I was home, once we could see each other on a daily basis, things would just get back to quote unquote normal. And so when I came home, and, you know, the first couple of days I was home, I think is when he told me he wanted a divorce. Of course, I was quite upset, but I was like, yeah. I'm not going to take it, not going to do it. It's not going to happen. Yeah, you're saying it, but, you know, we'll move on. And I just wasn't willing to accept it. And so it took a lot of convincing convincing is the wrong word, but it took a lot of time for me to realize that that's what needed to happen. I just wasn't accepting that that's what really needed to happen. And of course, I had just returned. So when I came home, as I mentioned, I had to spend a couple of months back where I was at, because technically my sentence had not expired. So I was actually on probation. So I actually was on probation. My lawyer was partly right for the 2 months after I came home. And then once I came home, I was able to move back to Southern California. And again, was quite fortunate that I was able to get connected to a job. So I'm grateful for those connections and the people that was there to make that happen, because I didn't have to worry about finding a job, although I was quite worried. And then I found a place to live, which was fantastic. It was right down the street from where my now ex, or what from then, where he lived with my daughter. And so I was now in this place where I left, and I had a home with a husband and a daughter in one home, and I came back And I was now talking about a divorce, living on my own, and splitting time, you know, with my ex and my daughter. And it was so, gosh, surreal. There's a lot of everything that was happening around me that was so surreal. I would sometimes come home and just think back and be like, oh gosh, you know, what do I do? Like, how does this work? What does my life kind of look like at the moment? And again, it was those times where I was just kind of biding time, and we approached the conversation about getting a divorce. We were already separated, of course, but getting a divorce, and I just refused to accept and acknowledge them. And I never wanted to talk about them. I wanted to give him more time. I wanted to give me more time. It was just so much all at once. And it felt like my world was being rocked all over again. And really it was, because here I was finally home. Literally, like, the end was here. The day that I had been, you know, crossing off on my calendar, circle, got this huge, you know, highlighted, like, this day is the day I'm coming home, or everything in life is going to be perfect again. And it wasn't. It was the complete opposite of that. Wasn't spending any time with my husband or my ex-husband, my partner at all, outside of the time that I was with my daughter. We weren't having the conversations that I thought we would be having. We weren't spending the time that I thought we would be spending together. And I mean, there was just these other variables like surrounding us, and it was hard, it was difficult, and it was hard to wrap my mind around, and it was hard to not get upset, and it was hard to not blame and point fingers and to, you know, to scream. And believe me, I screamed. I punched pillows. I did all of those things. I journaled. I did voice recordings, and I, you know, told people off when I was alone, and I would pretend I was speaking to somebody and they were in front of me, and I would scream and yell and do all these things, and, you know, just to kind of get these feelings out. And I think that's what I really did learn while I was away, and what I was gone, in the books that I read, was I needed to find ways to deal with these things. And because the more I kept them inside, you know, the more they manifested into things that I, you know, anxiety and stress and worry and fear, and just, and, you know, the ability to just, you know, not think straight, and just confusion and all of these things, because I was suppressing everything and I was hiding everything, and I was just kind of done hiding everything. And to be honest with you, I was just fucking done with hiding everything. And you know, here I was again. And I think that, again, that was another part of it, was that, you know, I'd spent, you know, a good portion of my life, again, self-inflicted, and, you know, due to my own wrongdoings, hiding and pretending and, not saying the things that I needed to say or wanted to say or had to say. And, you know, here I was again, kind of, I felt like, oh my God, here we go again. Like, I'm back to where I started. Like, I can't talk about these things. I can't tell anyone about what's happening, because I, you know, there was just so many variables that were, you know, kind of around. And I was like, mother of goodness gracious, like, here I go again. I can't say anything. I think that for me was, again, the frustrating thing. And now, I could have said a lot of things. I definitely could have. I chose not to. And I chose to only tell, you know, a small amount of people that are around me. And that was enough, honestly. I mean, there was no need for me to go telling the world what was happening. But it was just became very frustrating, because here I was again, like, I felt alone again. I just felt, once again, I'm in a position where I have to suck it up. I have to, I can't, you know, there's pressure around me to not be able to voice my opinion, to say what I needed to say, and say it to the people I wanted to say it to. And, you know, I would constantly, go to my sister and be like, oh, tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. Because I wasn't in the right place. And I you know, all the time, it's my sister, is my voice of reason. And all the time she was like, Kat, or actually she calls me, doesn't call me. My sister actually doesn't call me Kat. She calls me Catherine. And she's like, Catherine, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Whatever you do, don't do it. And she was right. She was absolutely right. I just couldn't see it then. And you know, I credit my sister and another good friend of mine. And you know who you are, who kept me completely level-headed as much as I possibly could during that time, because it was difficult. It was difficult to come back and face what I was facing, because then people knew what had happened. It was difficult to come back and pretend that I was okay when I wasn't. It was difficult to pretend, to do the, you know, fake it till you make it. And then there's a portion of me that, you know, that believes in that fake it till you make it to a degree, I guess. But it was difficult to look people in the eye and pretend that everything was okay, and that, you know, the direction in which my relationship was going was something that I was okay with, because I wasn't. And I will be the first to tell you that, you know, in the very beginning, that, you know, I was not for it. I didn't agree with it. I didn't want it. I wanted my life back, and that's what I was fighting for. And in retrospect, and again, hindsight is always 20/20. It was the best thing. It was the best thing. And part of the reason why I didn't think it was going to be the best, because I never wanted my daughter to grow up in this environment, or in the environment of, you know, divorced parents. I never wanted that. And so it was bad enough that I was gone for a year and a half of her life, that I was like, I'll be damned if I am going to, you know, have, you know, her life be, you know, this way forever. In time, you just start to realize that, you know, what is better for your child and what is better for you. And it took a lot of time to get to that place. But in that time frame where I decided, okay, I will agree to this eventually, there's a lot of therapy involved, honestly. There are a lot of self-reflection, self-awareness, and understanding where my life is going, because I left as part of a unit, a part of a family, and I wanted and needed that stability. And I came home to more chaos than what I dealt with inside. Because I will tell you, while I was away, my life is very structured, if you can imagine that. I got up at a certain time. I had to. I ate at a certain time. And if I didn't want to eat, I could skip and not eat. I had to be, and then, you know, eventually then I was, you know, when I was transferred, again, the same thing, you know, at every level. So the three levels that I was in, and the four levels that I was in, everything was pretty structured. I got up. I went to work, I volunteered, I came home, or I came back, home at the time. I read, I did my meditations, I did my journaling, and the times that I could call home, I did. And I wrote, and that was my day. And many things outside of that I couldn't control. There's nothing I could control. People's lives went on. And if their life involved, you know, mine, whether it was a letter that they sent or a phone call that was made, then our life, then we interacted. And if we didn't, we didn't. And so, you know, life was pretty structured while I was away. And I came home, and then I had all this time, this free time, to wonder and think and ponder and wish and hope and fear and worry and all of these things now was in front of me. And it was quite devastating to not have something stable to hang on to. and I was out in California on my own. I don't have, you know, I still don't have immediate family out here. So I was like just out here coming home on my own, now living a very single mom life and trying to figure out what my next move was. And there's so many things going through my head, you know, where do I go? Where do I, how do I do this? What, you know, what work do I do? Do I just do this work? It was just, there's so many questions up in the air, then relationship. And then again, fear of being seen, fear of being talked about, fear of being judged. And then I feared, you know, what will people think of my daughter because of me? You know, what, and then that guilt, just all kinds of things happening, just all kinds of things to deal with on a constant basis. I'm always in my head as it is. And so this was just on a magnitude and of just unbelievable proportions. So therapy was definitely needed. As much as I didn't think I needed it or wanted it, I'm so glad I did go eventually. And it was the best thing. And then from there, I did the coaching, and then that's where I found my purpose in life. As cliche as that sounds. That said, it took a while to eventually get to that position. But when I did, it was the most awakening, most invigorating, and the most self-awareness time of my life, because I was choosing for me, and I don't really remember ever just having to choose for me. And for most of my life, I've always been with somebody, and so for the first time, I was just choosing for me and my daughter. And it was fantastic. And it was again, very similar to the time where someone, you know, right before the investigation had turned on, or I realized the investigation in the office had turned to me, and someone else kind of held that key. Someone else held the power to my future. And again, I was often asked, you know, what did I feel about that person, you know, telling all my secrets, or knowing, you know, a part of my secret and telling, and that, and thus the investigation turned. And I have never, ever felt any animosity or any hate or anything towards that person ever, even then. I had way too many things to focus on that. And two, again, I wasn't brave enough to face my own fate. But she was brave enough to push it and say to the world what it was. And so there, you know, she freed me, honestly. I mean, gosh, if that life that I was living was not a good one, and she freed me from that. And then, you know, and just as it was, I had to pay for those mistakes. It just because, you know, she said it doesn't, you know, never meant that I didn't have to pay for the mistakes that I made, and I did. And I'm not saying that these, you know, this was a mistake or I've made mistakes in my relationship. What I'm saying is that I wasn't brave enough to walk away, because I didn't want to face this world alone. It felt like I would be alone, and I was scared out of my mind to be able to do that. That it took my ex-partner, honestly, to force me. Well, he didn't force me, but to be the one to say it's over and we've got to move on, more times than I can count, I think. But in hindsight, it was literally the best thing, because it forced me again to take my life into my own hands, to provide for myself, to think for myself, to stand on my own two feet, to, you know, to realize that I am quite capable, more than fucking capable, excuse my language, of taking care of myself. And I needed help. My God, I needed a lot of help. And a lot of people came and helped. And for those of you who are listening to this and helped me during that time, and any time thereafter, I'm grateful for all of you. And because that's the one thing, is that I had the hardest time of asking for people for help, because I never wanted anyone to feel sorry for me. I never wanted anyone to think that I wasn't able to or capable of. But sometimes you need help. And people are asking what they can do, not because they want to hear themselves talk. People are asking because they do want to help. So you have to take them up on it. And you've got to swallow your pride and put your ego aside. It sounded like a rhyme right there. About to wrap it this down. But in all honesty, it was the best decision he could have made for the both of us. And for those of you who follow me on Instagram, who know me personally, you know that life has gone on, and you know, it's not tied up into a pretty bow. There are so many things still to deal with, and so many aspects of life, and so many details and things to talk about, and I want to share, because there are more, obviously, you know, between now and then, then and now, sorry, a lot more things have happened. But I just want to do, I wanted to say, you know, relationships are hard, and they take a lot of patience and a lot of trust and honesty and openness and communication. And I'm learning as I go, and I'm not perfect by any means. And there's some lessons that I need to learn more than a few times, unfortunately. But the biggest takeaway for me, and if you are out there, you know, in your own relationships and figuring things out and where you are, one is, don't be afraid to be alone. You don't need anybody. And two, if you are with somebody, start with a really good foundation, like a really, really freaking good understanding of who you both are. We're talking, you know, get down to the nitty-gritty of understanding where you see your life, what you see your life, you know, what you see, you know, doing in your life, and all of those conversations that seem cliche and, you know, unimportant at the moment. Have them. You have to have them. And get a good understanding of where you place yourself in your relationship. Don't ever, you know, obviously put your partner above you. And be completely honest with each other. And those are things that, you know, seem elementary and seem, you know, again, cliche, but those are the foundational things that you have to work on and understand, because shit's going to hit the fan at some point. And if you're not prepared, if you don't have anything grounding you to each other, then it's easy to walk away. It's easy to find other things. It's easy to see that the grass might be greener on the other side. And that being said, also understand where you draw the line. It's great to work things out, to stay together, to stick together and work it out and fight till the bitter end, but understand where the bitter end is at. And know that there is always light at the end of the tunnel. It doesn't really matter, you know, what you decide to do in relationships, whether you stick it out, whether you walk away. And that is my two cents. And again, for those of you, so one of the things I do want to cover, one of the things that I was very, very concerned about when I was deciding if I was going to be able to walk away from my relationship and what that was going to look like was I actually thought, oh my God, I'm going to be alone forever. Because, hey, we think about those things, you know? And I was like, this is, you know, this is going to be my life. It's just going to be me and my daughter, because who in the world would want to be with a girl who is divorced, single mom, and to add to that, an ex-felon. I didn't really think there would be a lot of takers out there, to be honest with you. And I was very reluctant in putting myself out there. Very, very, very reluctant in putting myself out there. And I did. And that's another story in it of itself, because that's where we're talking about manifestation there. That was divine intervention when that happened. And I will talk more about that. But I put more value at that time and more worth at that time when I was thinking those thoughts on somebody else other than me. I didn't see the value that I could give. I didn't see my worth at the time. All I saw was twice divorced, single mom, ex-felon. Those were like, you know, the top three things on my resume. And I didn't look beyond that. I couldn't look beyond those things. And so I was, part of the reason why I wanted to not let go was because of that. I didn't want to be out there with that as my cover letter. And so I was scared of being who I was and letting those things define me and not being able to, you know, find a partner and you know, and again, realizing now I don't need a partner to know my worth and to know my value and to know what I can, what, you know, what I can give to the world and what I can provide the world and my daughter, and that I could be perfectly happy on my own if that was so the case. And so in leaving you with this note is that, again, for those of you who follow me on my social media accounts, you know that I'm not alone, and I have found somebody, and that relationship is fantastic, and it has its up and downs, and by no means is it perfect, and I don't want it to be perfect, and it has taught me a lot more than any of my other relationships combined. And it's because I'm being open and honest. And those are things that I never could do in my past relationships, because I had quite the facade up. And so I want you to know that whatever you are dealing with relationship-wise, whatever you're facing at the moment, know that there is always a light at the end of the tunnel. And you honestly, cut honestly, and I didn't find this relationship for a while. So I was quite single and quite on my own for a while. And it was a good thing. It was a fantastic thing. And there is light at the end of the tunnel. You are more than capable of figuring things out on your own. You have the ability, like you have no freaking idea. And it's all in there. You just have to get it out. And there's ways to do that. And we'll talk about that in future episodes and how to do that. But you are more than capable of just doing amazing fucking things with your life. You're alive. And that is one thing to be absolutely grateful for. It doesn't matter if you are attached, unattached, whatever the criteria is, whatever, you know, whatever the definition is, whatever you're dealing with, every single day, honestly, make it the most amazing day for you.
And that's how you have to look at life. Like, you are being given another day to live your dreams, to figure your shit out, to get going, to, you know, start that business, quit that job, end that relationship, start that relationship, do the thing you're supposed to be doing, all of those things. I read something the other day, and it said, what did it say? It said two people talking to each other, and it said, you know, we only live once. And the response was, actually, you only die once. You live every day. So live every day. That's my thing, is just to live every freaking day and know that there is always a light at the end of the tunnel, and there is always a silver lining in everything that you go through. And you just have to surrender to some of those things, and you just have to stop fighting and let some of those things go. A lot of those things go, if not all of those things go. All right. I will see you in the next episode. I have pushed back some of the interviews, just because there was quite a high interest in me finishing my story. And I understand that, it probably wasn't a good idea if I had started my story and then not finished it. So, not to say that my story is finished. It is ongoing. There's a lot of things in between that have to happen in the last 10 years, and 5 years since it all kind of came together. And I will be chatting more about that in future episodes, but keep your eyes out and ears out for the interviews as they are coming and on their way, with some amazing, amazing people who have bounced back in their own lives. And hopefully you will find yourself in their story as well. All right, guys, I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Hopefully we can stay connected, and you can follow me on Instagram at Kat Coley Coach, or my Facebook page at Kat Coley Coach, or you can email me at any time at kat@katcoley.com. Or if you'd love to hear more about my services or more podcast episodes or anything in between, check out my website, katcoley.com. Again, thank you from the bottom of my heart for being here, and I will chat with you next time.